It is good to be with you this morning, and I appreciate everybody being here this morning. But I want to begin this morning with a question, and it is the title of our lesson. Will he find faith on the earth? You ever give up on a prayer? Do you ever become so discouraged and stop praying about something because it seemed like nothing's happening? In Luke chapter 18, I'd encourage you to turn there this morning. Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable. And he encourages us to keep on praying rather than lose heart and give up. This parable begins in verse 2, but I want to begin in verse 1. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know, I know in the past, when I've talked about this passage, oftentimes I think we've actually looked at this passage from the wrong perspective. And oftentimes we've taken it and we've looked at the unjust judge, and we said, well, that's an example where we just need to keep praying because eventually God will listen. Well, I think we missed the point. And the point is that Jesus, if you notice, in verse 7, he says, now. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect? He's showing us two examples. An unjust judge and a righteous God. And he's trying to get us to wake up and see the fact that our righteous God wants to hear from us and that he will answer our prayers. And so I want you to think about several passages that encourage us to keep on praying. Jesus himself describes the elect as those who cry to him day and night. Luke 18, verse 7. Paul said, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray at all times in the Spirit, Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 18. And that as God's people, we ought to be devoted to prayer. Romans 12, verse 12. But I think one of the things that we have to understand about our prayer life is we need to understand that it's not my timetable that God is on. We need to remember that God often answers prayer on a different timetable than our own. For example, it was later on in life that God granted Zacharias and Elizabeth a child that they had longed for. A young man named John, who had become known as John the Baptizer. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus describes God as bringing about justice for the elect quickly. Yet it may not seem quickly to us at the moment. The term quickly here means with swiftness, with speed, Vine says. And though God's justice may appear at times to be delayed from our limited viewpoint, we can be confident when judgment does come, it will come like the flood or the destruction that befell Sodom and Gomorrah. I would encourage you to go back and read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 3. But I think one of the most important lessons we need to learn when we talk about this parable, we talk about prayer in general, is that we need to understand God desires our prayers. Even though God already knows what we need, according to Matthew 6, verse 8, even before we ask Him, He longs for our prayers. The writer of Proverbs said, the prayer of the upright is His delight. In fact, God views or describes our prayers as sweet incense that is a delightful aroma to Him. Now, we're told in the book of Revelation, Revelation 5, verse 8, when He had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I want you to observe that these bowls are said to be full, which means God's people of the day had been praying frequently. Now remember, in Luke 18, verse 7, Jesus says, now will God bring about justice for His elect, who cry to Him day and night, and will He delay long over them? Folks, this suggests to me that God never becomes impatient with the cries of His people. God is never bothered by our requests. Hebrews 4, verse 16, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. If there's any delay in justice being done, it's because God is giving us time to reach the sinner. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, which we all know, God wants all to come to repentance. God would rather have His and our enemies saved than be destroyed. And so if our prayers are delayed, it may be for the good of somebody who we're not aware of. But I also want us to understand our God is protective. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and no one who knocks. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Folks, God loves us so much that He will never give us anything that will harm us. If we ever happen to make a request to God that's naive or short-sighted, we need to realize God is protective and will not grant a request that could be our undoing. We have a loving God who has our best interest at heart. And you know, I like a song. I don't agree with its logic, but Garth Brooks has a song, Unanswered Prayers. Well, I don't necessarily agree with the song, but I like it, okay? But the point being that sometimes God says no. And that's the ones He's referring to as unanswered prayers. There may be a lot of reasons why God tells us no. Maybe it's something that would hurt us. Maybe it was something that would cause us to fall spiritually. Maybe it's something that we just don't need. Maybe it's something that if we got it, it would hurt somebody else. We're not God, we don't know. But we do need to know that when we pray, that God has our best interests at heart. And then we also need to understand where that prayer ends. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence, to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you understand what the Hebrew writer is telling us? He's telling us that God wants us, that He desires us. He wants us to feel as loved children that he wants to hear from us. You know, one of the most frustrating things for me as a dad is to listen to my wife who hasn't heard from her kids in a while. And then she turns around and looks at me and says, "Don't you dare send them a text telling them to call their mom." Okay? How do we communicate our love for people? By talking to them. By hugging them. Especially when it's long distance. It's usually by a phone call. And I kind of agree with Bob and Leo on this one. Text messages, they have their place. But when you're trying to have a conversation, that's not the place. Hope asked me a question via text message the other day, and I thought, I don't have time to type all this in, you know? But I went ahead and did it. But God wants us to come before him with confidence and ask him, petition him, thank him, praise him in every way. Because he is our Father. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him." Do we believe that? Do we truly believe that? Folks, our prayers come to the very throne of God himself. And Jesus, our great mediator, is at his right hand and has the Father's utmost love and attention. And our prayers are not lost in some cosmic mailroom or just one of many unread emails. Rather, they are, so to speak, on God's desk and open before him. And folks, we need to understand and believe the answer is on the way. The quickness to which God is able to answer prayer is seen in the life of Daniel. Years after he had been in captivity, as a young man, Daniel chapter 1, Daniel had read various Old Testament passages and scriptures, including the book of Jeremiah, and had discovered that the captivity would last 70 years, according to Daniel 9, verse 2. Now, Daniel realizes that the period of captivity is now coming to a close and prays that God would restore his people to the land and rebuild Jerusalem. And we find this in verse 19 of chapter 9. Daniel is pleading that God would perform what he promised in past ages, and to do so without delay. And while Daniel was still engaged in prayer, the angel Gabriel shows up. Verse 21. And Gabriel informs Daniel that at the very beginning of Daniel's prayer, the command was issued in heaven to come to Daniel. Observe that the answer to Daniel's prayer was on the way even before Daniel could finish his prayer. As a result, godly people in the past prayed and then eagerly waited for an answer. Do we pray believing and eagerly waiting for answers? Daniel did. David did. The psalmist in Psalm 5 verse 3 says, "Lord, O Lord, you will hear my voice in the morning. I will pray order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." See, when we pray, there needs to be excitement and anticipation on our part. Pray and then watch what happens, because God is going to act. Don't pray and then walk away or pray and forget. Pray and watch for the answer. and be amazed at how God answers your prayer. You know, one of the wisest men I ever met was an elder in the church in Memphis, Tennessee. And he said, folks, when you pray, he said, you need to write down what you ask. And he says, and you need to keep that book. And then when you get the answer, you need to write down what day it was answered. He says, because that's a faith builder. He says, the problem we run into is we ask, God answers, and we forget it. He says, we need to be reminded how often God answers our prayers and how He answers our prayers. And write it down. Because God has answered so many of our prayers, and with our feeble human minds, we forget. But if we write it down, we can go back and be reminded just how God answers our prayers and has answered our prayers in the past. But you know, I think all too often we're guilty of the question, saying, all we can do is pray. You know, I think most of us have said that at one time or another. Especially when faced with a situation that seems to be beyond our control, something that we have no power over. But folks, we need to understand prayer is powerful. Far more powerful than we realize. Now, the section we read on prayer in Luke 18 ends with a however. And in the book, The Life of Christ, R.C. Foster makes this statement. He says, the term, however, arrests the reader and makes him search for the contrast. It asks whether, in spite of the fact that the gate of heaven is always open, that at any moment of need, a Christian may seek God's help without any preliminary wait for an audience to be granted, will man yet seek the presence and help of God with enough frequency and perseverance that he will be able to prove faithful? The point of the question here is that although God is so patient and his answer to prayer so certain, yet man always tends to tire, to lose appreciation, to desert God. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Luke 18, verse 8. Not just faith, but the type of faith described in this parable. Faith that is unwavering and persistent. And I want you to notice that Jesus does not answer the question that he posed. Linsky makes this point. He says, Jesus leaves the answer to us and to all the elect that follow us. See, it's up to us to answer that question. Will God find faith on the earth? What's that tell you about our faith? What's that tell you about your prayer life? They go hand in hand, folks. Your prayer life and your faith go hand in hand. And then I want to close with this, the impossible. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has been mourning for 3 weeks. Then a heavenly messenger arrives. The other men with Daniel run away and leave Daniel all alone. Chapter 10, verse 7. And the messenger informed Daniel that he was viewed with high esteem in the spiritual realm. And he informs Daniel that the prince of Persia, and we're not sure, it could be either the king of Persia himself or maybe Satan he's talking about, had been withstanding him for 21 days. The messenger says that no one stands firmly against the forces of evil except Michael, your prince. Now, keep in mind, this is not the only time in Scripture that Michael stands with God's people against evil. He is the one who disputed with Satan over the body of Moses in Jude 9. It is Michael who opposed Satan in Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Folks, the good news is that in every encounter, Satan is beaten. There is an ongoing battle in the spiritual realm. Yet the good news is that Michael is on our side, along with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And therefore, let us not relegate prayer to the last thing that we do. Rather, let's make it the first thing we do. Don't wait for successes. Pray for successes. And then pray thanking God for those successes. Don't wait to thank God for growth. Pray for the growth and then thank God for the growth. John made a statement that I think Jimmy and Chris and Leo were there, but in the first meeting we had with him in Fairview Heights. And one of the statements was that one of the congregations he visited, he said they were just growing phenomenally. And he said, "What are you doing?" And he asked this question to the elders. And he said, "We're praying." We're praying. Folks, we need to be praying for God's help, for God's assistance. And remember, you know, as much as your mama wants to hear from you, if she's still alive, God wants to hear from you more. Do you love him that much? Will he find faith on the earth? This morning, how's your faith? Is it weak? Are you struggling? You need the prayers of the church. If you're not a Christian, you know what you need to do. Why not do it today? If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song?
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's fire.